Good evening and welcome to another episode of The Vegan Hour. This is Tuesday the 28th of May, I had to look then, and this is episode 10, and tonight I have my great friend Colleen Checkatree, vegan naturopath. Thank you for coming.
You're
along.
Welcome, thanks for having me.
We're talking all things health tonight, and we're going to be answering your questions about health related issues, because if you don't have your health, what do you have?
Your health is your wealth.
Your health is your wealth. Mm. That's, you said it better than I could have. So I can see lots of people coming online, which is great. Thank you very much for joining us, folks. The Vegan Hour is proudly presented by Vegan Frothers, cruelty-free clothing. You can see their logo in the background there. Vegan Frothers, anything you buy from them, all their profits go to animal sanctuaries. So please support Vegan Frothers. Now, also, one of my very tasty sponsors has very kindly dropped in the Gold Coast's most beautiful vanilla, vanilla. I've got to do this without it slipping off. Vanilla slice, and we may have been sampling it, and it is amazing. So Seth Vegan has just dropped this in tonight, and I mean, they do not only the pies, but they do the VFC, and they do the lasagna, and they do the melting moments. So many wonderful treats delivered to your door in Southeast Queensland, and they deliver on a Saturday now, so check them out. I'll put a link to them later. And also Sindian Natural Food Products is one of our wonderful sponsors as well. And Judy says hello, you too. And I know Judy's a friend of yours as well as mine. So, okay, so there's a few, before we get tonight's show underway, there's a few events coming up. There's actually a really good busy week and weekend coming up. So let me just get these out of the road without boring you to tears. So tomorrow night, as every Wednesday night at BKA Vegan, have you been to BKA?
I have for the first time. It was really good.
It is really good, isn't it?
I had the waffles for breakfast last Sunday.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay, BKA Vegan, they do Wednesday nights bowling nights. So all their bowls are only $12 each, and you can have curry bowls and Mexican bowls, etc. That's on tomorrow night. I'll see how quickly I can get through these notifications. Friday, there is an animal cruelty public rally. An animal cruelty public rally happening in Brisbane at 4 p.m. outside the office of the Minister of Agriculture. So, I'll post details for that as well. I won't go into the full story of all of these. Saturday's a busy day if you're on the Gold Coast. Come along to the Gold Coast Yoga Day Festival from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's a flyer that you probably can't see on very well,
That's good.
It does look colourful. All the food is vegan. It's eco-friendly,
oh, wow.
No plastics, all that, and you will become healthy and meet lots of wonderful people. So come along to that. Also, if you're in Brisbane, two events in Brisbane on Saturday. There is, Bronwyn. I haven't seen Bronwyn
in
ages. She's in Scotland. You're watching from Scotland.
Yeah.
Thank you for watching from Scotland, Bronwyn. That is impressive.
I know, I don't know what time it is.
Yeah, please tell us what time it is. On Saturday in Brisbane, there's a vegan bake sale for Farm Animal Rescue from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Loving Hut. We love Loving Hut. So go along with that and support Farm Animal Rescue. And also there's a vegan nutrition workshop from 11:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. put on by Vegan Palette in Newstead in Brisbane on Saturday as well. One final event, and then we can get tonight's show going. Sunday, the 2nd of June, is the Sustainable Social Zero Waste Event. Sustainable Social Zero Waste Event. Got that right the second time. 4 p.m. at Miami here on the Gold Coast. There we have it. Colleen is our guest tonight. Colleen is a wonderful vegan naturopath who has been doing your naturopathy for 26 years, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, and you've been vegan for 9 years.
Yes.
Yes, and in the time that I've known Colleen, I've known her to have a wealth of information and just to be incredibly helpful with a lot of people. And so tonight, I'm hoping that if you've got health questions, issues, either for yourself or maybe for someone you know or that, please feel free to send them along. And if you don't want to discuss them on the live stream, you can always contact Colleen through the link in the heading for tonight's live stream. That's her naturopath page. I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself.
A little bit?
Yeah, let's not take up...
I've got to keep it small.
Yeah, let's not take up the whole hour with it.
No.
But why are you vegan?
Why am I vegan?
Yeah, why and how did you become vegan? And also, does that tie in with being a naturopath or is it...
It does for me.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself then.
Well, my naturopathy is my way of life. It's not a career, it's not something I do. I didn't get into it because I was sick and I need to find out how to heal myself. I am actually a very well person. I just wanted to be able to help people in the best way possible, in the most holistic way possible, every level of the human being. And I'm also acknowledging, you know, the environment.
Yes.
And when I say the environment, I just don't mean like our beautiful ecosystems in the earth, but I mean the environment, like the human environment, our community.
So, yeah.
So I acknowledge the whole picture of humanity.
And the way humanity is connected to our external environment as well, obviously. Yeah.
Well, we are connected, but we have severed that connection, which is why we're all very sick.
Yes, which is why we need people like yourself to help bring that realization back and also how to achieve that connection.
Yes.
Because there's two different things. It's realizing that we've severed it is the first part, isn't it?
The realization.
The realization.
Yes.
And then going, okay, what do I do? Mm. How do I fix this problem?
Yes.
Yes.
Because a lot of us walk around thinking we're mechanical beings, that we can compartmentalize our organs and bodies and our illnesses or our physical ailments, but really we're a whole and everything is affecting everything, just like an ecosystem. So our bodies are like everything is integrated and everything's communicating.
Yes.
We can't just compartmentalize human body.
So you as a naturopath look at that, what I would call a holistic
overview. Holistic is a nice word to explain.
All the connections.
Yeah. Very much so. Mm.
So why did you become vegan?
Well, I was already I've always been an environmentalist and always been an animal lover. And I didn't really eat much meat anyway. And I didn't really eat much dairy anyway. So I had that awareness of hardly eating any of that anyway. Mm-hmm. So, and I was also raised vegetarian.
Right. So from birth you were raised vegetarian.
Yes.
Were your parents quite aware or were
very
they?
Aware. That was very Zen aware. Buddhist. So we weren't even allowed to have eggs because you're not allowed to eat eggs.
So, okay. So you were just having some dairy?
Not really. We weren't even really eating dairy.
So you were pretty much plant-based?
We were pretty much plant-based, but Dad would buy a whole fish once a month. And fever, and we would eat a fish once.
Okay.
I think they probably felt like, you know, they had back in the day, which was about the 70s.
That must have been strange to be plant-based and then once a month have a bit of animal. That must have been, how was that?
You didn't think about it. But in saying that, my dad loved to fish. So that was kind of like in his lifestyle.
Right.
He was from Durban, South Africa, so he loved to fish. And so I hated that.
Yes.
So we would be I would be on the jetty and there's four of us kids and I didn't like it very much.
Yeah.
It would freak me out.
Yeah.
Like, the guys is fishing and then the fish was in the bucket suffocating.
Yes.
It would just, I would literally try and flick them off the edge. This was when I was a little girl.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was an animal lover I used to try and save caterpillars and toads from horrible boys. I used to pull on the teacher's thing, please help me save this caterpillar. And they just go away.
I used to actually do a similar thing when I was in school too.
Yeah. I was a real hypersensitive and really didn't want to hurt anything. And I had a deep relationship with animals. I would rescue animals. I would save animals. I would...
Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you consider yourself a highly sensitive person? You would.
Very much so.
I wonder why we get on so well, but that's
are.
Yes, most vegans
that's
are.
That's why
true.
They're vegan.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, and so Gary Yourofsky video, you know, the greatest speech
ever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was I just watched it and I was like, oh my goodness, hang on a minute.
Connect the dots.
And it was instant, but I was already probably 80% there really with my understanding. I just didn't really see the whole picture as it was, and he just painted the picture so beautifully and so quickly.
Yeah.
So
that that's fantastic. Yeah, and that was 9 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Now the questions have started coming in. Ray, I'll get to yours second. I want to get to Karen's first because Karen's is quite in depth there. I'm not saying yours isn't, but Karen asks, suffering from a very low immune system, currently have a cold that is lasting over a week, and now looks like I might have
sinus.
Yeah. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. I'm currently living in the UK. Well, my advice would be move to Australia, but no, let's have some health advice.
Okay, yeah, colds are horrible. And you know, when you're immunosuppressed, your immune system's plugged directly into your nervous system and to your brain. So any stress hormones will suppress the white blood cell count. And that's known, that's proven. The medical profession talks about this. So stress plays a massive part in immunosuppression and a poor immune system. It really does. So being joyfully happy and loving your life is a great way to get your white blood cell count up. That's not always easy, but I'm just throwing that out there because it's really interesting. If you're really under a lot of stress and you're not happy and you don't like your life, then you will keep catching everything.
Sorry, folks, I can't resist the Gold Coast best vanilla slice. I'm just, anyway, how would you define that stress? Like, it can be work-related, relationship-related.
Oh,
health-related.
Anyway. It could be anything. It could be a belief system set up from childhood. You could not like yourself. There's so many reasons why people don't feel happy. Stress is a very vague word, actually, because if you're just not happy, if you feel sad or stressed or anxious or fearful or guilty, any of these negative emotions, you can feel them in your body and they actually do suppress the immune system. And not only that, but they also, hype up the adrenal glands too. So you're in a bit of a fight and flight all the time. You're under stress all the time. You're never happy. You're never calm. You're never centered. So that all affects the immune system. And saying that, Karen, eating raw garlic is incredible. Not eating that will not fix your cold at all. But raw garlic is amazing. Vitamin C loading gets the white blood cell count up really, really quickly.
Vitamin C loading.
Yeah. So you sort of like do it to a tolerance. Like, so we use up all the vitamin C every day that we have and eat. It's all gone by the end of the day. So we got it. And so it's kind of cheating, but it's a beautiful natural way to cheat and get our white blood cells up and help fight infections of any kind, of any kind. Vitamin C is incredible. It's been proven since the 1950s over and over again to diminish the symptoms and severity of infectious disease.
So what's the best way to get your vitamin C up then?
You can get awesome vitamin C powders. Don't buy chewable vitamin C because it will rot your teeth and it's acidic, and you want a buffered vitamin C. You want 1,000 milligrams at a time. You just dose it during the day. You do like 4 to 6 doses a day, and that will fix your cold very quickly. Raw garlic is an incredible antibiotic, and it also breaks up mucus. It breaks it up and gets it out of the body. Just garlic, all the herbs. There's so many herbs. There's so many antiviral herbs. There's so many antibacterial herbs like echinacea, andrographis, cat's claw, olive leaf. All of these things work. If you take enough of them, they will minimize the severity. Getting sick is part of being human, but you don't have to be severely sick and you don't have to get reoccurring stuff. So all these facets, like we've been talking about, and like where I'm coming from, I'm holistic. It's not just about taking a pill or changing something in the diet. Karen, obviously you're watching this because you're vegan, so obviously, hopefully you're not eating any dairy, and also, which is terrible because the proteins, we react to them and they aggravate our allergic responses. So we're always on the go when we're eating dairy. And also wheat can be just like dairy does.
Really?
The immune system. Yeah, the GMO wheat, yeah.
So would it be safer, generally speaking, to say to people to be gluten-free as much as possible?
It's on a case-by-case
basis?
Wheat-free, but not gluten-free. Gluten-free foods are actually devoid of nutrition. We want whole grains. We want, like spelt and kumquat are your ancient versions, non-GMO, non-sprayed with Roundup versions. So the DNA is not altered. When the DNA is altered of these grains, they become allergenic and we all react to them. I don't know how many people say to me, I came off wheat and I had more energy, just because the body's not this like low grade, like allergic response. It doesn't even have to be an obvious symptom. But the ancient Egyptians loved wheat. They lived they literally lived on wheat.
I believe it's been hybridized in the last 50-100 years or something.
And that's, since the 1950s.
The last 50 years, 50, 60 years.
Yes, almost 70.
70 years, yeah.
I used 2019.
I used to be good at maths once. And that's what you were saying, that it's now, how did you describe it in your words? It's just not good for anyone, basically.
It's altered.
It's altered.
One of the biggest problems is the glyphosates and the Roundup. It really is.
Yeah.
Because they drench this, as they're growing it, so everything's got wheat in it, and then they drench it in Roundup, all the seeds after they've planted them in the great big fields. They drench it in Roundup, which is no good for our environment, let alone us. And just to make sure it grows evenly and it's bug resistant. So it alters its actual DNA. Can you imagine if we were spraying during Roundup at an embryo stage?
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure.
That would alter our DNA.
I'm pretty sure I was, but that's a whole different story. Hey, by the way, I saved you a small, this is your bit here, the small
bit.
That's
not very nice. I'm working hard here.
You are. Okay.
Karen, let me know if that answered, if you got anything out of that too. But yeah, get into your herbal tinctures, herbal tablets that are all antiviral, antibacterial. Take optimum dose, get your vitamin C, get vitamin E. Vitamin E, without vitamin A, we can't.
Vitamin A.
Make yourself a pumpkin soup.
Vitamin A, mm-hmm. Yep, okay. So you just said then make yourself a pumpkin soup. Mm. The best way is to get the vitamins naturally, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, so with vitamin C, it would be your first port of call would be to actually get it from the oranges, if possible?
Or? There's not a lot of vitamin C in oranges. That's one of the poorest.
Okay. What would be, sources. Oh really? Okay, what would be carrots?
Kiwi fruit, guava.
Yeah. Right.
There's so many more capsicums are richer in
would
vitamin C.
Would you have to eat a lot to get your daily requirement?
The thing is, it's not just about daily requirements. Remember, we're living in an unnatural environment, which is why we're getting strange sicknesses. Anyway.
No, you can have, I left you a bit. You can have some. You got to try.
Layers.
Okay, leaders.
Well, party leader.
Party leader. Yeah, I can't talk like you.
What are we talking about?
Okay, so we're talking about vitamin C. Yeah. Whether it's better to
but in a natural environment where we keep getting infectious disease that we never used to get because we used to live with nature. And we used to live much more calmly. We used to have a supportive community. Now we live in cities and air conditioning, fluorescent lights, high unnatural stresses. We need
How about screens on all the time?
Vitamins can be very helpful without side effects.
Okay.
If you know what you're doing.
Yes.
So they're a cheat, but in all honesty, I tell people magnesium and vitamin C is how you get through this modern environment. This is how you survive.
Interesting.
It's magnesium and vitamin C.
Wow, okay.
Every day. This is how you cope with this stuff.
There's some really good advice for everyone watching. Karen says, many thanks, we'll follow your advice. Okay. And I'm going to get to Ray's question, but just before I do, while we're still on this. I know you are. That's good. But you're talking about the body getting sick, right?
Yes.
So that is actually, you know, from my understanding from before I became vegan and I read the book that inspired me to become vegan, which was The Mucusless Diet.
There you go.
Good old Professor Arnold Errett, who explained something that blew my mind at the time, that was the body getting sick was actually a sign that it was detoxing and it was a good thing if you allowed it to naturally run its course.
Well, you can always take illness as an opportunity to detox. Because if you get sick, it's a time to retreat. It's a time to simplify.
Let me just qualify.
It's a time to fast.
Let me qualify how he said it. He said it when you go on a fast. He said at the time, he said people would go on a fast and in a couple of days they started feeling really low in energy and they were getting sick and maybe, you know, vomiting or whatever, you know. And he said, and they would instantly think, oh, I need food. Mm. And he's going, no. What you've got to understand, that is the body detoxing. Give it time to do that.
Mm.
You'll get through that period.
Yeah.
And then you'll actually find the energy in that, you know, coming back naturally.
Yes. Yes, so, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, if a Western person all of a sudden decides to fast, you're going to get deathly ill. If a monk who's vegan that lives in the mountains and wants to fast, he'll never get sick. He'll be fine.
Right.
He'll be absolutely fine.
So that's an interesting thing. We need to talk about fasting.
Yeah.
We need to talk about it. But we'll do that in a minute. We'll get to Ray's question because we've kept you holding too long. Ray says, what do you think of vaccines?
Vaccines? Well, it's a great idea. I'm a naturalist. I like to read the ingredients of everything. It's a very emotional subject, so I'm not really going to directly comment on that because it comes a lot with lots of people's belief systems. But I do get people to try and get the vaccine excerpt, the piece of paper out of the vaccine. So they'll just take it out and they'll throw that box away with a piece of paper that folds out to this big. With side effects, adverse reactions, and in the ingredient list. And because I'm a naturalist, with everything, I've never even used an aluminium deodorant. A lot of vaccines have aluminium, some have mercury, they have formaldehyde, they have polysorbate 80, they have animal DNA, they have egg albumin. And this is, I mean, it's a lovely idea to prime the immune system with giving it a antigen, which is the disease, bred on animal tissue, to try and get the body to make its own, you know, antibodies. But it's, yeah, it's a long story. I can always send you lots of links with deep, deep research on this and understanding, so that you understand the massive concept of it and the massive idea. But I mean, that it's kind of like, you know, a homeopathic sort of concept, whereas like cures like. So they're trying to prime it. Yeah. Like for instance, you know, you can feed your dogs the ticks, or if you feed the dogs the ticks that attach to them, they will no longer, you know, react to the paralysis.
Interesting. Okay.
And that's been done for since the dawn of time. It's like trying to prime you back. But that's nice, because it goes to the digestive system. So we get enzymes, we get to break it down with our enzymes and hydrochloric acid before it reaches the bloodstream.
Yes.
But injecting something straight into the bloodstream is just not natural.
Yeah.
And there's other ways you can do all sorts of things for the immune system. I do understand that this is a touchy subject.
And
I will leave it there. But from my perspective, I'm a naturalist.
Yeah.
And I read ingredients, and that's all. It ain't organic. But I understand the concepts and the fears around it, and the you know, and the ideas around it.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. That was a great answer. Thank you. I had a question there that I've actually, it just fell out of my head. I hate it when that happens.
You had a question?
I had a question, I was in relation to what we were talking about, but it's just fallen out of my head.
Oh, it'll come back.
So it'll probably come back.
Maybe.
Probably not.
You ate my piece.
I ate your piece, sorry. For those that have just tuned in, this is, if you've missed it, I keep showing it. This is the best vegan vanilla slice, and you can get this from Cess Vegan delivered to your door if you're in Southeast Queensland. That's pretty cool. So Gold Coast, Brisbane, Sunshine Coast, out to Toowoomba sometimes. So it is amazing. And I'm trying it for the first time tonight. Thank you to Sarah from Cess Vegan. Thank you. And have I left you any yet? I did, but I ate it. Anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the things, I remember what I was going to ask you, it was to do with flu shots, because something that's come up in the last week or two from a few different friends, family members and all that, is that they've had their flu shots and within a day or two got sick.
Yes.
And it's happened with a number of workmates and everything. I'm just like, this is interesting. And I just wonder, you know, what is going on there?
Yeah, I mean, anyway. Well, there you actually are, you're actually contagious after the flu shot, which is really interesting.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So you can actually spread it, which is really interesting.
Wow.
And also thanks, Ray.
Yeah, Ray says, thanks, Colleen. Totally agree with you. And I knew you would, Ray. So,
but remember, it is controversial. People have, you know, it's about trusting your own innate being.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and when I talk about that I'm a naturalist, this is a really big story, because I gave birth to my, I chose to give birth to my children at home.
Good.
Naturally, with very experienced home birth midwives that were more adept and experienced than the hospital midwives. They not only were hospital trained, but they also were trained from all different perspectives of birth, and they could see a tragedy happening, or you know, a problem happening way before it would anyway.
Right.
And so, and actually, the home birth outcomes are actually better than the hospital birth outcomes.
That's proven
through studies. So giving birth at home, there's better birth outcomes with less trauma and problems at home with a I'm not a free birther. That's a whole different thing. That's people I'm giving birth by myself.
Yeah.
That's crazy. No woman's ever done that unless she was literally alone throughout time. We've always had the wise woman, the healers with us, and the wise woman.
Of course.
So what I'm talking about is that I breastfed both of the kids long term. They're now 22 and 18.
Yeah.
Beautiful, gorgeous, organic, beautiful human beings.
Yes.
But I invested a lot of knowledge, and it's not like I did it because I was rebellious or I was trying to be a hippie. I'm not trying to be anything. I just knew that if we give the human being what it needs, it will thrive.
Yes.
And you know, we look at the animals, we look at the beautiful leopards and the zebras and even the kangaroos and the possums and the birds, like they're looking at us like, what are you guys doing? Like, we're animals. We're just overly intelligent. We overthink everything, but really we need sunshine, we need the ground, we need clean water, we need organic food, we will thrive.
It is ironic.
It's not even hard.
You know, I like your description, we're overly intelligent, but we're really not when you look at it, because we
are though. That's how we've done this.
Yeah, but we're overly intelligent to the point where
not
we ruin...
Wise.
No, not wise, that's right. So to the point where we ruin things,
yeah.
Because we think we're so intelligent that we can just do it all against nature or whatever.
That's
And what we're seeing...
We think we know better.
Exactly, yes, yeah, thank you. And I was thinking about this today that, you know, what we're doing to the planet environmentally is not working as not working in synergy with the planet.
No,
it's the opposite. It's very, very. It's just greedy. It's just It's rude. I'm going to plunder, basically,
yeah.
Right? And if you do that in any situation, eventually there's a comeback. And that's what we're experiencing now, you know,
yes.
which is a subject that we can expand on a bit later.
Mm-hmm.
So with your kids, you were saying there that by home birthing them and by doing it in a way that where you're very aware of the reasons why you're doing
mm-hmm.
it.
And I wasn't fearful of any infectious disease for them at all.
Good.
I was not fearful. I just totally trusted their innate organic immunity.
And I've got a number of vegan...
And they did well. I mean, it's not like they never got sick because you're actually developing your immune system until you're about 5. So do you know how animals don't get sick is that they pass on the antibodies through breast milk.
Right.
So, you know, I had measles and chickenpox and mumps and all this stuff when I was a kid.
Yep.
And whatever other disease I had.
Yes. Yeah.
I have an antibody for it, a real, true, deep, lifelong immunity that vaccines don't give you. So that's what they keep giving them, and they keep giving them, and even then you can still get the disease.
Yes.
And like they should be promoting and educating mums on breastfeeding, long-term breastfeeding.
Mm.
So children will still get little sicknesses, but you can manage it beautifully with natural medicine.
So I love this.
But you need to know what you're doing. You need to get good information. You need to, you know, have a great... herbalist naturopath that helps you.
And this is on so many levels, this just makes sense because it's working with the natural order of things.
Yes.
The natural system that we're in. It's working with nature in a way. But it's also, it's understanding the wisdom of the natural order of things.
Mm.
And instead of what we were saying a minute ago about, you know, we think we know better, it's like, now hang on a second. There is a natural system here that if we just let go and allow it to do its work.
It does.
We don't need all this.
And the whole fear around infectious disease came about after the Industrial Revolution, when people were taken out of their little farm communities where everyone was growing food and sharing their food.
Yeah.
They were living on the earth. They had a very simple life. And all of a sudden, the Industrial Revolution, and all of a sudden, hygiene, clean water, fruit and vegetables, and all of a sudden, there was infectious disease everywhere.
There's a few, that's a great observation. I'm loving some of the information that you're giving. That's fantastic.
I'm not ranting. Tell me if I'm ranting too much.
No, you're going great. So there's a few comments here I want to get to. While I'm reading those comments, you're welcome to have a piece of that if you want. I've just got to put that there. Donna says, I've been losing a lot of hair in the last few months on a vegan diet.
Mm.
I've never had that problem personally. more than half my hair has fallen out. Is this normal?
It can be. It can be an iron and a protein deficiency. It's a real thing for vegans. It's a real thing.
Okay. And so straight away, you're going to suggest a blood test probably?
You can't really test for protein levels. You can't.
You can't?
Not really.
Okay.
Not for systemic protein levels, because protein needs to be constantly there and in storage.
Right.
Same with iron, actually.
Okay.
But iron you can test for.
So, okay, what would you suggest in this case with Donna?
So, I can't see Donna. I don't know who Donna is. So, she should perhaps get iron and B12 and folate looked at. And folate also, and biotin, it's really important.
Biotin.
And zinc.
And zinc, yep.
It's really important for hair growth. And it can be a thing for vegans that aren't, you know, being diligent about looking for protein. So you can actually become protein deficient as a vegan. You really can, like it is a thing.
You can become protein deficient as a non-vegan.
Oh, totally.
But
anyone can be deficient.
Yes.
Especially if they're eating McDonald's 3 times a day.
Yes.
Then they're going to be deficient in everything.
Oh. Yes. Actually, that's just brought up something I want to talk about later. And it's in relation to how diet affects our mental health. Because, I think that's a big thing that often goes missed. But we'll get to some more of these comments. We've answered Donna there. I hope if you're...
Just hang on a second. Donna also, it can be shock, trauma, high stress.
Yeah.
You could have been through a period of extreme stress, and then like 3 months later, your hair starts falling out. It depends how extreme it is. There's many aspects to that, but either it's nutritional or it can be stress. Or it can be metabolic. It can actually be something with your thyroid.
So what would you suggest if in a situation like that, if you're thinking that that's maybe the case?
With stress?
Yeah.
Then you go for adrenal tonics like Sabrian ginseng, methane, or rhodiola, beautiful things that will bring it all back. It's reestablish the adrenals, yeah. The thyroid.
See, this is something I wanted to ask you earlier because you were talking about stress earlier, and it did occur to me at the time that long term, if you've got this is something I think you and I have personally spoken about in the past, about adrenal overload or whatever, what's the terminology?
Well, you can go into hyperactivity initially where it's like a lot of adrenaline.
Yeah, and can't sort of relax, you can't slow down.
Then you fry them and they get tired and then they can't get you out of bed in the morning.
Right.
Then there's no more cortisol adrenaline to get you out of bed in the morning and you get adrenal exhaustion.
So in a case like that, what would a person do? Well, they'd come to you.
The herbs I just mentioned are beautiful. Okay. Sabrian ginseng, methane, rhodiola.
I think from my own personal experience and from what I've observed in others, I have seen quite a number of people over the years, friends and workmates and whatever, that seem to be very much on edge a lot of the time. Like they can't relax, you know, like they are sort of, when you're talking to them, you can see they're almost hyped up all the time. Whether that's just it could be a reflection of just the way that the average person's lifestyle is these days. You know, that if they've had a couple of cups of coffee, they could do it.
And also, are you talking about men particularly?
I'm talking about, but I've actually seen it. I've seen it a lot in women too, actually. Uh-huh. Yeah, it surprises me. You know, and you can tell because somebody that's relaxed is just relaxed, and somebody that's not is like, they're jittery, you know. It just flows through in their body language and that. You know?
Yes.
And I just wonder.
There's many reasons for that. Some people like being really busy. It's their addiction.
Yes, I've observed that as well.
Yeah, they don't like to be still and have a deep and meaningful. That's all too much. Yeah. And that's there. Everyone.
Why do you think that's scary? Talking about that, why is that scary for people to not actually have a deep and meaningful, slow down and face things?
Because a lot of people have a lot of emotional stuff that they've never, ever, ever thought about. They don't want to think about it. Most of us humans in this Western civilization come from a lot of pain. There's, you know, our lives, our childhood wasn't exactly lovely and free, and you're a beautiful child and be free to be you. It was like, shut up, be quiet, backhand.
How common do you find that? Do you find that that's
very
most
common?
Yes, because that's what I've discovered.
Yeah.
It's most people when you talk to them.
Especially the older generation. Then there's the new age parents coming through. I mean, there's still horrible parents that are being nasty to their kids.
Yes.
And just actually repeating patterns.
Yes.
But then you get a lot of intelligent and educated
with awareness.
Parents. They do. And they're beautiful and they're really trying.
I'm taking this.
You can
have it. I'm having more. Did you like it?
It was good.
It's good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Vanilla slice is one of my favorite treats in the whole world.
I'll leave you some.
I know anyone that has against contagious. So, how funny is that, Jerry?
Hang on. Chris Hayes says, hi, Harry and Colleen. Yes. Great vegan hour, guys. Thank you. Do you know if there is vegan collagen?
Right.
Vegan collagen?
Not so much. But you make your own collagen with vitamin C and protein.
Okay.
Zinc. Silica. In fact, silica is the primary precursor to collagen. And interestingly, all this collagen rubbish going around driving me insane.
I was about to say, why is collagen, why is it supposedly important?
They think it's a cure-all, they think it's gonna fix their gut issues, yada yada. But unless it's actually been hydrolyzed or treated and basically smashed up in some kind of process with some smaller particles, you can't even absorb it. So they're basing this, they think it's a traditional food to boil up the bones, and the hooves and the whatever. But that form is almost impossible to absorb. So they have to do that, which is gelatin. And then they have to hydrolyze it and then they call it collagen.
Right.
Because they've broken it down to so it's at least digestible.
Right.
So it's not really in its natural state. And you know the funniest thing? In all vegan collagen supplements, they've actually still added vitamin C, silica, zinc. And I'm like, Why don't you just...
Hello. Yeah.
Like, you're trying to tell us everything's in the collagen. Everything's there. It's the beauty, nutrient, collagen. I'm like, but why did you add all those things then?
Exactly. Yeah. This is like the B12 debate. Oh, you know, you have to eat animal products because they've got B12. Hey, you put the B12 in their feed. You know, it's not naturally there. It's a microorganism, bacteria. You know?
So, well, I think all flesh has a level of B12, but you've made it in your gut.
That's correct.
From bacterial stimulation.
That's correct, yes. Yes. Yeah. It's as if you knew what you were talking about. sorry. Jerry says...
Sorry about my face as I balloon.
You do all the routine. Jerry says, I am the only one at work that did not receive the flu shot and the only one that hasn't had this contagious cold or flu that is going around in Melbourne. I'm not surprised. Donna says, I also lost a lot of weight, 43 kilograms in 6 months. Congratulations, Donna, that is amazing.
And not stressed.
Okay, that's fantastic. And Donna says, thanks, Harry and Colleen. Love your full hair. I love my full hair too. This is the sexiest.
So boofy.
So what?
Boofy.
Boofy, yeah. This is the sexiest noggin. It's so damn sexy, even if I do say so myself. Anyway.
You're saying so, not me.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so.
What else did you want to talk about?
I wanted to ask you about. That sounded like almost like a loaded question. I wanted to ask you about what I'm going to call essential health habits.
Oh, vitamin C and magnesium. Okay,
there we go. Vitamin C and magnesium, essential health habits. Have it every day, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And then, based on what you've been saying, also live your life in a more natural way.
As close to nature as possible. So, like, it's getting to the point.
What would that
grounding? That sounds
like grounding.
Grounding and earth is so heavy, but it is so real.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. I actually go out of my way to take my shoes off and water my garden and with my animals in the quiet. In the dark, before I go out in the morning, when I get home at night.
Hoping there's no snakes in the garden.
I wasn't thinking about snakes, but.
You are now. Sorry.
Because, you know, our bodies want to be in sync. Yeah, there you go, Chris. And vitamin C. So vitamin C and silica are the primary collagen nutrients.
For those that are watching this on YouTube, Chris has just said that, thank you so much, Colleen, I'm using organic silica.
Yep. Yeah, so grounding and earthing, because it settles our ions. We're actually electrical, just like the earth is actually electrical.
Yes, and in fact, I believe, is it a heartbeat or a heart rate or something matches the frequency of the earth in some way or something?
There's a frequency of nature, not so much of it, that of like forests and stuff.
Right, yes.
I can't remember, it's like a hertz.
Yes, hertz. It hurts when I hit my nose, yeah.
But yeah, I can't remember the details of that, but yeah, you're right. So there's frequencies. We can measure our frequencies, and you know, this is all starting to be proven by science. I mean, it has been proven by science for a while, but it's really starting to be acknowledged in science that we are electrical creatures, and in fact, we're not even solid. If you expand,
we are space. Everything is space.
There's space around the atoms that make us up. It's freaky. Yeah. It's like a little universe.
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it? Because
and Masaru Emoto's work. You know, the water scientist.
Yes, that's right.
The emotions on things.
Yes.
And the plant experiments as well. When you're being mean to one plant and it dies, and the other plant thrives because you're being nice to it. That's crazy.
It's not crazy.
I know it's not.
It's not crazy. I mean, it is. It's proof of of what. Of how important it is for us to be aware.
Health and being in sync with your environment.
Being in sync with your environment, which in Western society has been so far removed from.
Yeah, we live in buildings, we live in skyscrapers, we work in offices.
Yep.
We drive in cars, we're not even touching the ground, we wear shoes all the time.
Yep. We're subject to sounds, lots of light.
Yeah, and Wi-Fi and EMF. Freaking us out.
And now the latest disaster, 5G.
Can't wait for that. Not.
Apparently, I read today it's gone live in Southport on the coast here.
What?
Yeah, they've already...
putting the boxes in.
Oh, that's already gone live today. Southport's just
gone live. Hang on, I was told that they have to put the boxes like every third house because it doesn't travel.
Well, yes. Like, no, because as you go up in the you get shorter, you get a higher frequency, travels a shorter distance. Yeah. It's a basic...
So you've got to like have boxes on every second or third house?
Yes, oh, yeah, they have to have it on... In the States, what they've done, they put it on every second or third light pole. Mm. So you have a small box there because the range is...
They've
limited.
Done no long-term studies on the safety.
And interestingly,
radioactive waves actually do nuke us. It alters yes. our cell function.
Yes.
Is insane.
I mean, if we're talking about 5G, this is a subject that could take up a whole vegan hour in any case. Mm. I should probably get a 5G vegan hour happening.
There must be someone that knows a lot about it.
There is. But there are parts of the world where they've realized the danger of it. Some of the places in Europe have realised the danger of it and have banned it outright in some of the
true.
Cities,
yes.
or they've put in severe restrictions. Mm. Whereas in the opposite has happened in the States, where they've basically said we don't care if there's any evidence that it's harmful or not, mm. and that it exceeds previous restrictions we had on energy
radiation.
It exceeds it by a huge amount. We don't care. We're approving it. So like, can we say vested interests? Can we say money and greed? Yes, we can.
It's like a great experiment. It's like a big experiment.
You know, yes, and that's really
scary.
We're the guinea pigs.
Yeah.
And talking about that, we are actually experiencing that on such a worryingly, as I was saying earlier about the climate crisis, and such a worrying level worldwide. You know, this experiment where we're shitting in our own nest and seeing how far we can get away with it, you know.
Hoping the science somehow will just fix the problem.
And, you know, there's no planet B.
No.
We don't have
any... They keep trying to find one, but we haven't found one yet.
Yeah, and
I don't really want to live on Mars.
And we'd screw that up as well.
If you're talking about living on Mars, I'm like, really? Do we have to live on Mars?
Here in Australia, if you've been following the news, and I'm sure most of us here in Australia would be aware that now that with the elections, federal elections over and with the coalition back in again, it only was less than a week before they started fast tracking Adani, which is Adani is a word that means evil in other languages. It's not funny at all, because they're fast tracking Adani to basically rape and pillage the earth and just create more environmental disasters.
Even other countries are saying, Australia, what are you doing? Because it's World Heritage, this is your Great Barrier Reef.
Yeah.
And the Great Barrier Reef is kind of like the Amazons. It's so important for overall global ecosystems, the actual Great Barrier Reef.
Yes.
I mean, it's already being severely damaged in the past anyway.
Yes.
And now this is going to be a massive...
Yep, all for money and greed.
And interestingly, people get caught up in, we're going to have jobs. It's good for the economy.
And here's an interesting thing.
How short-sighted is that?
Yeah, how good.
It's sad.
I've got a job, but I don't have a planet to live on. But the other thing is, that's about the mentality. In relation to Adani, they're saying that the long-term jobs will only be 100 people.
Yes.
Because it's going to be, most of it's going to be automated. This has become the political vegan era now, or something like that.
Sorry about that.
Chris says, I have strawberries, pineapples and oranges for my vitamin C. Nice. Thanks again, guys.
You're welcome. You already know what you're doing.
That's right. You know what you're doing. Now, when people come to you and, you know, what do you do when people come to you? How do you sort of investigate what they need and how to help them and all that? Magic wands?
I wish that would be so much fun, but they'd probably run for their lives. I don't have a wand.
I'll loan you my knife.
I've actually had someone ask me if I had a crystal ball. They thought I was a witch. Like, they just thought a naturopath was a witch. I'm like,
No, she's not a witch. No. I've been to witches, and Colleen's not one.
Yes.
I'm leaving you some slice, but not much.
I don't think you are.
No, okay, I'm not leaving you any slice.
When they come to see me, I do a 90-minute intensive.
Okay.
all the textbooks are aside, all the protocols are aside, because I have to find out every one of you is so unique. It's a beautiful thing, and I love that. So I just try and find out who this person is, where have they come from, what is their journey, what have they been through, what has their body been through. You know, it's so much to it. The history of diseases and surgeries and accidents and all sorts of things, even where you grew up,
surgeries,
even where you grew up and what you're exposed to. You know,
surgeries and accidents can be relevant.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
What effect can surgeries have on a person? Can they?
Well, it depends on the surgery.
Right.
And it depends on why they had the surgery. Like, for instance, if they just had their gallbladder out, say when they were 35 or something.
Yeah.
That will affect their whole digestive system and how they assimilate fats.
Okay.
And in fact, when someone has their gallbladder out, they have to really watch what they're eating, because they can no longer assimilate fats effectively.
Wow.
That's just one example.
That's interesting. Yeah.
A car accident can completely throw out your spinal fluids.
Yes. Oh, so your spinal fluids.
Fluids and, you know, your cerebral fluids, your spine fluids. Yeah. And some people will put weight on after a car accident, slowly gains weight over the years.
Yeah.
Like sort of almost like an unnatural level of weight that they just can't lose.
That's interesting.
But it's because their whole nervous system was thrown. Because car accidents are highly unnatural occurrence. Yeah. Like to throw a beautiful organic body at that speed and impact, it really freaks the nervous system out and the brain out,
so
and
is
the
this
body
like
and
a,
the organs.
Is this like what we refer to as a PTSD sort of thing?
Kind of. I mean, that's I mean, that's just a set of symptoms.
Yeah.
That's okay, that happened, so now you've got this. You've got depression, anxiety, and panic disorder.
Yes.
Because that happened. Mm.
Yeah.
But this is more than that. This is also a biochemical, a biochemical or organ dysfunction sort of thing that happens. But yeah, so I from their birth, even I even asked, did your mum ever talk about something that happened while she was pregnant with you? Did she fall over? Was she eating something in particular? Was she living somewhere? Was she under a lot of stress? Like, if it's relevant, if it's relevant, I'm kind of like a Sherlock Holmes. I scour through and try to find the answer as to why. Because when you find why someone's not that's when you can fix the problem.
Yeah.
For some of it can be something they don't even realize.
And from what you've said, if it's going back as far as when your mother was carrying you, then it can be something that was completely out of your control.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, many things are out of our control. Like you could be raised near a printing factory and you've been breathing in through the night, you've been breathing in fumes, like gas, particularly the old-fashioned printing.
They
really stank.
Oh,
I actually had one particular client that had lymphoma-like cancers, and I was trying to find out like why, so I was trying to figure out where have you come from, like what have you been through, like why are you getting strange things? Quite often people have the multiple myeloma cancers, like the oldies.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to figure out, because they're a strange cancer, it's not just about what you're eating or anything, it's like...
Right.
I always link them to pesticide or industrial chemical exposure. And so I'll literally always, almost always find a period of their life where they were exposed to industrial chemicals or some kind of thing like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, but the doctors won't acknowledge it. They might just say it in passing, oh, did you ever work in a factory, or did you ever work on a banana farm with the spraying, that kind of thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. The things that we do that just have
this. So the human health is complex.
Yeah.
It's very complex. The human condition is extremely complex now.
You
need to understand all the facets of what's influencing our health.
So it's interesting, but it's not just modern society, you know, in the last few decades it could be badly influencing our health. You're talking about spraying bananas, which could have been happening many, many, many decades ago, or old printing
of course.
Things. And
stuff. So you'll meet a 75-year-old man with the myeloma, the cancers, and you're talking about when he was 15, he was doing an apprenticeship. And he was, one particular guy told me he was actually standing, I can't remember what chemical it was, he literally used to stand in it. And there was no precautions taken back then.
Well, actually, it does bring up
a
thing that my dad, I think when he first left school, was a diesel mechanic.
Yeah.
And he said it was common for them to be handling petrol and diesel a lot. To be washing parts in it, to be washing their hands in it, you know? And so it was like, in fact, as a kid, because he had been brought up that way, when I would work on mechanical stuff, I would do that as well. So, and you're absorbing that into the biggest membrane or something, into the skin. It's like, wow.
And the whole Roundup thing that they've just been sued, I think, 55 million in America.
Yes.
Bayer now owns Monsanto Bayer, sorry.
Yeah.
But they've just been sued and they've taken a massive blow. I mean, 55 billion they were sued.
Yeah.
But do you know how they got them?
No.
Do you know the reason? Do you
know how they, No.
That how they ended up suing them, the final thing that the judges were like, whoa, that is crazy.
Yeah.
Was that for their employees, they gave them a full book on safety instructions on how to handle the chemical Roundup.
Right.
They had to be suited up, sealed and suited, masked, headgear, everything.
Yes.
But when they advertise it to the general population Roundup, they've got rolled up sleeves, they've got their legs exposed, they're not wearing a mask, and they talk about it like it's just like a normal thing to do, walk around spraying Roundup and breathing it in and letting it drop on your skin.
Mm.
That's how they got them in the end. They said, why haven't you given the general public this safety measure?
Wow.
Why have you given that to your employees and that not to the general public?
It's just
because
wrong.
Of like the Hodgkin's disease and the lymphatic cancers.
It's just wrong. It's just evil, you know.
That's how they got sued. Was for that. That was the straw that broke the camel's back.
And I believe there's more cases coming up too, because this is the first successful one that's only just recently gone through.
Yeah.
There's another two major ones I think I was reading that are in the works, and that where they're going for a very high level of damages as well.
Yeah.
It's
really sad. Just, I mean, I've been a naturalist, as I said, an environmentalist my whole life. Like, I've never used plastic bags, and you know, I've always done that. When people are like, oh, and I'm like, I've been doing that for years. Catch up,
right?
I'm not saying I'm perfect or like, you know what I mean, but I've been doing the best I can.
But it was obvious to you from a long time ago that that was the right way to do things.
Yeah, and when people use Roundup, it just freaks me out. It always has, like, why are you doing that? Like the bees and the caterpillars and the snails. We don't have snails anymore.
There's so many things that we either don't have or at the point of just about wiping out.
It's heartbreaking.
It's really bad. I want to get to some comments here. Judy says...
We went off on a tangent.
Colleen has helped us learn so much more than just nutrition, and that's obvious. You know so much more than just nutrition. Karen says...
Nutrition's boring. Sorry. It is.
Unless you're eating a vanilla slice.
That's not nutrition.
That's my nutrition. Karen says, whereabouts is your practice located, Colleen?
Coolangatta.
Coolangatta.
Coolangatta Chiropractic, yeah.
Coolangatta Chiropractic. Are you there? What's every day of the week?
Wednesday and Saturdays predominantly, and Mondays. Wednesday, Saturday, Mondays.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mondays. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm back at uni on Mondays, but the semester's coming to an end. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can message Colleen through the link at the top of the live stream. We've got a comment there in Russian, and therefore I cannot read it because I don't have a translation here, my Russian translator is out of the room at the moment, so I'm sorry, I can't do anything about that. Actually, if she's watching, maybe she can.
That's right.
I'm not kidding. I literally have a Russian translator. If she's watching, maybe she can translate that and reply to it. I don't know. So my PA is a Russian translator and most other things. Anyway, that's a whole different story. So I wanted to touch on something because the vegan hour is rapidly going through tonight, which is great. Mm-hmm. I wanted to touch on mental health in relation to diet and that because... And what I want to connect it to is a lot of these shootings I've had in America. Mm-hmm. Now I've wondered about why. I mean, this is just my thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I want to get your feedback on this. I've wondered why we have these people that just go off on a tangent and just start shooting everyone, just, you know, with seemingly no reason. You know, it just seems insane.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking, okay, what is the connection between these people? What is it? I mean, obviously, you hear with a lot of them that they've played a lot of violent video games, which is really going to not be helpful mentally for them.
Yeah.
But I started to wonder, what is their diet like? Because I know that diet is going to affect your mental state. And I thought, are we talking about people that are living off Coke or soft drinks? That fast food, have they become so nutrient deficient that they're just not functioning mentally very strongly at all? Have you got any ideas? Have you ever thought about that or in relation to that?
Of course.
Or can we take it in a different direction, which is generally with mental health and diet? So
there's so many aspects that affect mental health, but if you just want a summary, chronic inflammation in the body, or chronic acidity, a lot of acidity in the body, will create brain inflammation. And brain inflammation causes a lot of irritation and depression.
Ah.
And anger, irritability.
Ah.
So if someone's playing video games all day and they're in McDonald's all day and they're drinking soft drink and whatever, eating crap, they're going to be super irritated. They're not going to be thinking straight.
Yeah.
They just aren't. So you're right. Yeah. Nutrition plays a big part. But I mean, then you get kids that do that, that are lovely kids as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're, whatever. I'm not saying they're, like sometimes these people even have lovely parents, but they've just literally got something else going on.
Right.
And so you couldn't just blame nutrition, but it would be interesting to find out like what food they're eating, because zinc deficiency is common amongst criminals. So pyrroles or Mo factor, like the inability to absorb zinc, is actually common in violent people.
Wow.
Okay. Yes, zinc's really important, but you don't want to, don't get obsessed with zinc, because if you take too much zinc, it becomes toxic and blocks the assimilation of other really important minerals.
Okay.
You don't just sit there taking zinc all day just to prevent mental illness. You load zinc in the body and then you leave it, like you take some for 3 months, like a really bioavailable form like picolinate or citrate or gluconate, and you need B6 and magnesium to sort of help it.
Right.
So zinc's really core for mental disorders. And I mean, if these people are deficient, they're not going to have zinc. But the pyrrole or Mo factor, pyrroles or Mo factor, has become extremely common.
So
in
what's
Western
that, pyrrole
culture.
Or Mo factor?
Well, pyrroles is what it's called.
Yes.
And the Mo factor is the test, a urine test they do to see whether you have the ability to actually absorb zinc.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And if you don't, you're in a lot of trouble mentally.
So they've done studies that show that criminals are low in zinc.
You can Google
Interesting.
That.
Wow, that's that is interesting.
Well, they actually have pyrroles. So they actually have pyrroles.
And what are the the symptoms of pyrroles are what you were saying about what
quite
irritability,
often it's bipolar or depression.
Okay, depression
in the common person who has pyrroles.
Yeah,
like a poor memory as well.
Just
poor cognition, brain function.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So if somebody suspected that they might, if somebody was watching and they suspected that there might be an issue there with themselves or someone that they know, can they get tested for that?
Yeah, easy.
Yeah. Okay.
A normal GP can test the Mo factor.
The Mo factor.
For pyrroles.
How do you spell that? M-O?
M-A-U-V-E.
Oh, Mauve.
Yeah, it's in the colour.
It actually Mauve. Oh,
Mo factor.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it actually comes up in the, it's actually the colour. It turns with the test.
With the test?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the urine?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's something really easy to diagnose.
Interesting.
But I mean, you can be zinc deficient or you can have pyrroles. So you can actually also be zinc. Zinc deficiency is common as well.
Right.
We just don't get enough in our diet.
Right.
Yeah.
So what would be good, healthy zinc supplies, good, healthy
the richest foods? Source are your pepitas. So your richest source of zinc.
Yeah.
Then you need to activate them. Don't eat them raw. There's no point. Yeah. You just poo them out. And you really don't want the Chinese ones, the insipid little Chinese ones, useless. Have nothing in them. You want the Australian ones.
Australian pepitas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That you'll pay twice the price, sometimes three times the price.
Yes,
but it's worth it.
But what price
is
your
it,
health?
Baby.
Yeah. Because your health is your wealth. That's what you said earlier.
It is.
Yes. Question there from Chris. It's probably going to be one of the last questions we take tonight. Do you have an opinion about using CBD oil for joint issues, Colleen?
Yeah, it's fine. You can get, I mean, it's
that was easily answered.
It's prescription. It's, you know, you can get prescriptions now, and it's all different ratios of the THC and all the CBDs in there. Cannabinoids have all different names.
So it's effective for joint issues.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's effective for pain management.
For pain
management. Highly effective for pain management, yes. But it can make you still a little bit doped out. Seriously.
Yeah.
No, it can.
Yeah.
And in
Even
fact,
if it has no THC or whatever the okay.
You still have a level. There's cannabinoids in breast milk, there's cannabinoids in echinacea, there's cannabinoids in a lot of the plant kingdom.
Wow.
So don't be scared. We all have cannabinoid receptors.
Wow.
Don't be scared of it.
Don't be scared.
Out of the plants. Free the plants, let them be free. That's what I say.
Oh, God. you know, I can't believe how quick the hour has gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you're such a wealth of information. It's amazing. If, you know, what people are going to have difficulty believing is I've actually left a small amount of the world's
best. That'll get me home.
I'm calling it the dinner. World's best vanilla slice.
Ration.
For Colleen to get her home. That's her ration. Colleen, it's been an absolute give us a.
Thanks for having me.
It's been an absolute
thanks
pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening, everyone.
I really appreciate everyone with all your questions and that you've asked, and I really appreciate
the vegan
it.
Vegan community are beautiful.
We are, aren't we?
Yes.
We are. We have a big, strong...
It's a pleasure talking to you all.
We have
you've
a big, strong
a
community.
Choice.
Yeah, you... Yeah, go on.
For the planet.
Yes, and how about for
and
me?
Of course, the animals. The whole everything. You care more about your environment.
Kept interrupting you there, sorry.
Yeah, I know. You didn't finish.
Chris says, thanks so much for your wealth of information, Colleen and Harry.
You're welcome.
Thanks for watching, Chris. Thanks, everyone else, for watching. I'm going to... The Vegan Hour, of course, this episode, as with all episodes, will be on YouTube within a couple of days. If you want to get in touch with Colleen directly, you can just click on the link at the title of this live stream. And also, there's I'm going to put some other links there for some of the events that are coming up this week as well. What else should I mention before we wind up for the night? If you've got any questions you want to ask, even if you're watching this live stream after it's finished, you can still put the questions in and you'll get a notification because you're tagged in it. So, so you'll see the question. And Judy says, thank you. So
thanks, Judy.
I want to mention that I'm back in 2 weeks' time. Yes, it can't be avoided. with episode 11. And we are going to be talking about...
Episode 11 on the 11th of June.
That's interesting.
Whoa, 11-11. Episode 11 on the 11th of June.
You picked up on that real quick. I didn't even notice that, and I typed that.
That's incredible. I thought you made a mistake. Episode 11 on the 11th of June.
The 11th of June, episode 11. That's... Yeah, there you go.
What do you call it? Serendipitous.
Serendipitous. You notice things. That's good. And we're going to be talking about vegan mental health with a vegan mental health expert, Rena Thani. So that's a subject that I'm very, very interested in. So we touched on it a little bit tonight. We're going to expand on it in a couple of weeks' time with Rhi because she's got decades of experience in that area. And so join us then for that. Thanks again, Colleen.
You're welcome. Thanks again.
Until then, remember to live vegan and save lives and have a great night, and I'll see you soon.
Bye, everyone.
Good night.